through a time. You know, you can spend 40 days in a wilderness, you can spend 40 years in a wilderness, but God can take us out as long as we follow the map that he's laid out for us. The goodness and the grace of our God is so clear when we know he's near. Now, if you would walk in the word with me today, we'll look in Matthew chapter 26, and he mentioned about Peter having hoof and mouth disease because of the fact that he always had his foot in or around his mouth. I can really identify with him. I can understand just a plain old redneck that's doing the best he can to love the Lord and giving his heart, but yet he fumbles and fails and falls, but he keeps getting up. He doesn't give up to anybody but God. That's the kind of person I can identify with. And here we find that he's speaking and he loves the Lord so much. But he's trying in his own strength to live the Christian life. He's so sincere, but many times sincerely wrong. Have you been there? And I believe the Holy Spirit of God wants to bless our hearts today and help us understand how we can live out this life he's called us to. In Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 33, it says, Peter answered and said unto them, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Now, he's speaking to Jesus, but Jesus speaks back to him and says, verily I say unto you, this night before the cock will crow, you will deny me three times. Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. And likewise said all the disciples, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that we will understand the word working in us. Lord God, we will never see the God of the Word unless we really begin to understand the reality of this Word being a God-breathed book, of an understanding it's not ink on paper. It's a reality of a God speaking to us, talking to us, loving us. So make that real in our heart this day, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, I pray that the Holy Spirit will help you today. And if you come to the point where you have to go through trials and tests in life, and they're there for all of us, I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us in a special way to understand God's grace and his goodness. But please know this, you must really press and pass the chicken test, and that's a difficult thing in life. So many people give up. Now, let me explain the chicken test. The Bible says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is, yeah. Now, would you just say it this way? The spirit is willing, but the chicken is weak. Now, I'm not changing scripture, okay? But I want you to know the flesh is weak. And that's what we battle with. That's our biggest battle. Matter of fact, most of the targets that the enemy gets in our soul, we make. And the Spirit of God wants us to understand the word that will wash those things away so it becomes the weapon of warfare that God intended. But we have to understand something. You can choke on the chicken and never get to what God wants. Now, when I talk about choke, I'm not talking about this kind of choking, but if you started to do something and you just choke, you froze up. And have you ever seen somebody, I've watched kids play baseball, and all of a sudden they'll choke at the bat because they're afraid to swing. They're afraid they'll miss. And I believe there's so many times we don't understand that. And because of that, we can end up in a wilderness way of life that God wants to bring us out of. In the Old Testament, those lives are written for an example for us that live in the end times. And we need to understand as we go through this wilderness, we're going to have chicken tests that will come all the time. See, they came right up to the border of what God wanted for them, and they broke down because they looked at the giants, and they declared how great the giants were in the land instead of declaring how great their God was. And we need to understand the chicken test that happens when we look at what God wants us to possess, because the flesh will always say, we can't do that. But we need to come back to the Apostle Paul when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Now, that's when you cross the chicken line. That's when you pass the chicken test. And I'm not talking about being chicken in the sense that you're just a fraidy cat. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about the kind of thing that Jesus dealt with Peter, a very sincere man that loved God with all of his heart. But he said, I'm going to use something like a little barnyard chicken. I want to awaken you. I want you to, you know, you hear the fact that we wake up with the chickens. And one of the alarm clocks that used to be when I was a kid was a rooster crowing. And they wake you up. But I want you to know there's something of a call of the Spirit of God to awaken our heart to the day and hour we live in, that we live out our life in love. One of the things that Rick Warren says is the best interpretation of the Bible is a living Bible, and that's you and me. You know, I was really glad that when I was doing the funeral service this past week, and I'm riding along with one of the funeral directors. He started talking about one of the people in our church and telling about a wonderful young lady in our church. And I thought, that's wonderful. That's the Bible. And Samantha, you did a good job, because he was talking about you, all right? And I won't tell you everything he said, but it was really good. But, you know, that is the thing that I really look for. But you see, if we don't get beyond what it is to live by the flesh, we live by the sense level, the natural senses. And it comes to the point, I don't see anything, I don't smell anything, I don't feel anything, I don't taste anything, I don't hear anything. That's why the Apostle Paul said, yeah, I know all that, but that's why you present your body as a living sacrifice. You present your chicken as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you come to understand, to take the fearful part of our heart, to take those things that would cause us to stop, those things that would cause us to choke and not be able to do what God desires, to be able to say, that's the sacrifice I'll give. That's the point where I realize I've come to the end of myself. But Lord, I've just come to the beginning of what you can do. God, I want to be able to see your spirit move in my heart and in my life. When we begin to understand that, God can do something supernatural, because it begins to renew the mind. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's so important we learn to think according to the Word. It's so hard for the Lord to do things in the hearts of Christian people who love him with all their heart, and they've got a saved heart but a lost head, because we still think like the world. We still haven't renewed our mind. That's why these 40 days are so important. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for them that love him. We usually only read that at a funeral service, because we think we're just talking about heaven. But can I tell you, that's talking also about the natural sense level. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. I mean, you can't get it through natural senses. You have to understand Romans 1, that you walk in the Spirit, that you understand the grace of God, so you can perceive and receive the things that God really wants for your heart and for your life, to be encouraged about that. Because there's all kinds of things to put you down, but I'll tell you, the Word of God will build you up. The wilderness, even in our life, and we all go through that at times too, the wilderness where the children of Israel came to, it was the blessing of the Lord that brought them out of bondage, out of Egypt, parted the Red Sea, brought them to the wilderness. But a journey that should have taken 11 days took 40 years. And that whole generation, with the exception of two men who were not chicken, two men that were willing to say, we're well able to take the land, let's go, we can take it. They had a different view, because they saw what God could do. I pray that the Lord can raise that up in our hearts, that we begin to understand God does not bless just what you believe. He blesses what you do, and what you understand and what you obey is what he will bless. Not just what you say that you believe, but what you obey about what you believe. Now, the word obey is an interesting word when you look it up, because it comes out of two Greek words. Number one, it means being under. And if you're under, it means somebody's over, right? And then it means to hear. So you're hearing from under. Well, how does that work? Well, there's a man in the Bible that gives us an understanding of that. He's a Roman army captain, and you'll find this in Matthew chapter 8. And he asked Jesus to come to his home, because he has a sick boy, a servant, who's in bed, paralyzed, racked with pain. And in the King James Version, it says, grievously tormented. Wonder if there's anybody here that's got any points where you feel paralyzed, where you feel tormented. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And there's no conditions to him. He didn't say, how good a boy is he? Is he a Christian boy? By the way, are you a Christian? He didn't do any of that. He said, yes, I will come and heal him. But an amazing thing starts to take place. This officer suddenly says, I'm not worthy to have you in my home. That is, this isn't necessary. It's not necessary for you to come. For you need to speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say go, they go. To another come, they come. And to another do this, and they do it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled. Jesus was amazed, and he made this statement. He said, I've not found so great a faith in all of Israel. This man really understands what it is to be under authority and to hear and to believe what he hears. And I'll tell you, the Spirit of God wants in this 40 days that we come under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ's words and hear what he has to say and obey it, because it'll always be for your good. God so wants to bless us with that. But there'll be a lot of chicken tests along the way, because this old flesh doesn't want to obey. There's a rebellious part in every one of our hearts, and the Holy Spirit will help us to be able to deal with those things. But I pray that there'll be a day that Jesus can marvel and look at you and say, I'm amazed. I'm amazed at the faith that Mark has to make this move that he's going to make. And we'll miss him, but we'll bring him back. But I'm amazed at the grace that's embraced your life and what's happening right now. I'm amazed at the grace of God that has raised up this church family. I'm amazed at what God has done in this place. But I'll tell you what, that amazing grace and embrace and what he's done, I'll tell you, we've only begun what God wants to do. There's a greater thing that he wants to bring and breakthrough that he wants to bring for the future, because there's so many people in this community that need to know the love of Jesus Christ. It's not about being amazed so we get a pat on the back, but it's so that we begin to take what we receive and release it to people that are lost. Amen? That's so important to understand. See, if you don't keep the soul, or you don't keep the goal for a lost soul, pretty soon it's all about me and what you'll do for me, Lord. And I want to tell you something, the old flesh will feed on that fast. And you'll have so many chicken tests, you won't be able to do anything but eat chicken. And I tell you, God wants that chicken to take a licking. And I'm not just playing with words. He wants to get rid of that kind of thing in our soul so he can make us whole. When we understand that and we can move, we can see something that God will do. He wants us to be able to know it's what you believe and what you receive that God will do. Because here's the amazing thing. Jesus said, what you believed has happened. That boy was healed the same hour that it was spoken. The man went back. His servants totally healed. God so wants to work his word today. You see, sometimes we get paralyzed and we don't know what to do in our life. And we end up like it says in the scriptures, multitudes in the valley of decision. We can't decide what to do. We live in the indecision all the time. We can live with indifference. By the way, the opposite of hate is not love, it's indifference. The opposite of love, I meant to say, is not hate, it's indifference. Just being indifferent about things. And God, so by the power of the Spirit, wants to awaken our heart. And he wants to be able to take us beyond the points where we're tormented in life. Sometimes it's from past guilt and addiction. It can be a hurt in your heart that you never can get healed. But God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to take us into the Word. So the God of the Word, can speak to us. This God-breathed book can come to you when it seems like you've had the wind knocked out of you and give you a fresh breath from heaven that gives you hope in your heart. I said earlier, I wish that it meant that it always means God will change our circumstances, but it means God will change me. That's what he's after. If he can change me, I can deal with any circumstance that comes. Amen? We need to understand that, because otherwise you're controlled by circumstances, and the enemy of our soul knows that. There can be problems in the present about our health, our wealth, our marriage. We can be dealing with anger, depression, fear of our future, of what's going to take place. You may have unsaved loved ones that you're just paralyzed, and you understand they're blinded by the God of this world. They can't see what you're talking about when you tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. But see, natural sense can never allow you to see the victory that you can have in this life. You know, I gave you a quote from Chuck Swindoll. He said, 90% of the will of God is common sense. We need common sense. Amen? God said, renew your mind. Don't remove it. Renew it. How do you do that? By the Word of God. You really get into the Word. You say, well, Pastor, I don't get that excited, and I don't feel that. That's all right. See, your natural senses will deny you. Matter of fact, your natural senses, when you start reading this book and you start to pray, it's like the devil will slip you a spiritual somnolence and try to put you to sleep. Have you ever noticed that? You get so tired and you don't feel like it. I'll tell you, sometimes I feel the least spiritual when I try to do the most spiritual things. Sometimes when I try to read the Word or pray, I just feel, oh, man, just like the old shoe that doesn't know what to do, you know. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit of God, he looks at that and he says, oh, man, this is going to be a sacrifice. I wonder if he's going to do it. This is a chicken test. I wonder if he's going to give his best. And those are times that you have that you begin to humble your heart and you're not living by your natural senses. It's not what you see. It's not what you feel. It's a faith in a God that you talk to. If you just sit down and begin to have a conversation with the Lord, he's thrilled. If it doesn't seem very energetic, that's okay, because he's quite energetic. It's okay if you don't know quite what to say, because he has good hearing to hear not only what comes out of your mouth, but what's in your heart. And the Spirit of God so wants to bless you. And dear church, as we go through these 40 days, may it be that we take the other 10% that comes through revelation knowledge, that we begin to have the revelation. Because, see, it's that revelation that you have that really allows you to do what needs to be done with the 90% of the common sense that you have. That the common sense doesn't control everything, but the revelation knowledge that God gives you through his word begins to guide you, and then you have not only knowledge, but wisdom that comes from the Lord. And God wants that. So with that information that comes to us will bring transformation in our life. There's so many Christian people who will sit in the pew today and get more information about God. There's people who go through the 40 days. There's going to be churches all across the nation that will go through these 40 days. But I want to tell you, that if you just get more information about God, that won't happen. This is not just about learning more about God. It's learning about a relationship with God that's real, the God of the Word. Many people really do believe in the Word of God, but they don't know the God of the Word. I mean, in a personal, intimate relationship that's real every day. And that's what we need to pray for and be able to respond to. When we say that we've not heard and you can't see by eye or ear at the emotional level, that's when you come to the point, Lord, I trust you no matter what I feel. The chicken strips are not going to stand. I'm not going to struggle with the chicken strips of life and of the flesh, but I'm going to obey you. You know, you and I are called to walk by what we know, but even more, who we know. That makes all the difference. What we know must lead us to who we know. Make this determination when you read the Bible or go into the Word. Father, I want to come to you. You're the one that spoke the Word. You breathed in and brought life into me. I want to know you. I want this to live. And Lord, I don't know about all of these thousand begats, and I don't understand some of those names, and some of those names only you and their mother would care that I get them pronounced right. But Lord, I'm just going to go ahead and read, and I'm going to get this in my spirit. I'm going to do like David. I'm going to hide the word of God in my heart that I'll not sin against you. And one of our biggest sins is keeping away from this word. You see, this book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. And God wants to help us. He really wants us to know how important it is that our life makes a difference, that there is a testimony, that what you have received is being released through your life. It's not enough just to receive it. It's not enough to go away and say a good sermon. It's not a good sermon if it doesn't get out there. It's not a good service if we don't understand what to do after we leave here. We have to understand how to serve a world that's lost, how we can serve with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Let the fruit of the Spirit get out of us so other people can taste and see how good our God is. The Bible calls us to walk in the Spirit, not to walk in the flesh. Verse 10 tells us of the fact that we have to come to the point of being able to see in the reality of what God wants to do, of how it is that we begin to live out this life, this love, in such a way that every day we can speak in the Spirit and know the reality of what God wants through his love to be able to touch others. It says, but God has revealed unto them by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. He wants to really search and bring revelation to a lost world. Now, 40 days in the Word is going to bring us to a point of what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy when he said, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. Study to show who? Who? Yourself. Oh, we could spend all day right there. Because I'll tell you, that's where the chicken test really comes. The hardest critter to work with is self. If you can get a hold of the serpent of self and lay him on the sacrifice of really saying, I'm going to do the will of God, you begin to hear in a different way. You're not hearing through the filter of everything you want. You're hearing through the filter of what God wills. And you begin to get a hungry heart for God. And you're not just worried about what you'll get. You open your heart to what you'll be able to receive and release so other people can know how real God is. I'll tell you, that's the real deal. And God wants to bring that about. See, when it says that you need to be a workman, that's another thing. You got to work in the Word. You got to work through it. There's gold. This is a gold mine. But you got to dig out the nuggets. And you've got to allow the God who answers by fire to refine and purify that gold and get rid of the impurities and all that he would purpose. He wants to work in our lives in such a way that we can be able to say, Lord, I've received something I can't hold. I'm going to give it away. You see, we could just begin to understand that God has set us free. You're approved, appointed, anointed, accepted, able ministers of God. And you can take that wonderful word and you can share that life and that love. Don't allow anything to keep you from that. I received an email from someone who's been listening a lot to the radio broadcast and looking on the webpage and all of that. And they said, I just try to get close to the Lord, but I feel so condemned because so many things have happened in my life. And they said, I even feel unworthy in just writing this to you. And I just want to get back to that person and say, oh, we're all unworthy. We don't look at we don't look at our worth. We look at His worth. Amen, church. Well, that's what makes it exciting. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, take those things away that make us so fearful, that brings condemnation. May we pass through the flesh. You see, the chicken strips of life will cause you to stumble. And many times there are people that have a chicken strip stroke, I think, because there's so many things going wrong in their life and they just can't function and things don't flow right. And then the condemnation comes. Listen, we need to understand that we must allow God to work in us and then work through us, because there's people in this community that will arrive in a Christless eternity if we don't do what God has commissioned us to. Allow the Spirit of God to minister to us and through us, that we understand how the Lord will help us to move in such a way that we can fulfill what He has to say. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, because you reject knowledge, I reject you and your children. You see, if you don't receive the Word, please hear this. If you don't receive the Word of God and release the Word of God, God has nothing more to give. He's given His Word. It's an absolute. Matter of fact, you read the end of this Word and He said, don't you add anything to this Word. Don't you take anything from this Word. This is it. He says, we'll be judged by this Word. He doesn't say that in a condemning way. This is a father that loved you so much. He said, I'd rather die than live without you. This is the father that gave His Son. Don't ever see that as He's going to beat you with the Bible. He's going to build you. He's going to build you. But He wants you to build something big enough that there's room for others. He's put you here with that kind of purpose. Please understand that. And that's the most important thing in the world, that you understand not your preference, but your purpose that God has for your life. God's Word is the final Word. When we understand that, we can move into these 40 days with an understanding of God's goodness and grace, no matter our circumstances. You know, sometimes I look in the Word, and I'm glad that it's all in there, everything. There's stories that tell us about the wonderful things God can do, but there's times when you see things that people are going through that are so depressed and so discouraged. And Jeremiah is one of the greatest men in the Bible that you'll read about, but he's called the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah was one who preached for 40 years and nobody would repent. I would weep too. I want to tell you, if I preached Sunday after Sunday after Sunday for 40 years and everybody said, no way, Jose, I would feel bad about that. But I'll tell you what, he got to the point at one time where he just said, that's it. I've had it. No more God messages. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to quit going to church. I'm fed up with it all. Now, none of you have ever been to that point, but Jeremiah is, okay? And he's having a major pity party. By the way, every time I have a pity party, God rains on it. The Holy Spirit shows up, and it's not a dark cloud, but it rains on me. And it ruins it. It just absolutely ruins it, because it shows me how selfish I am. But it says, and would you just say this, but His Word. Yeah. Now say this after me. But His Word is a fire in my belly. Okay, now here's the important part. If you're going to have the fire, you need to put the wood there. Amen? And see, what you're doing in these 40 days, you're cutting the wood for the fire to fall, for the sacrifice God wants to do. And I want to tell you something. It's going to cook some chicken. you're going to find, this is not Kentucky Fried Chicken. This is going to be something of the sacrifice and the fire of God that will fall upon the Word of the living God, and it will begin to burn away the wood, hay, and stubble, and you'll begin to see the gold, silver, and precious stones, the refining fire of God that begins to release what He wants for your life. I think it's an important thing that we come to the point that, like Jeremiah, Jeremiah literally said, I'm worn out from trying to hold back what God's put in me. That just wears you out. Can I tell you, there's a lot of Christian people that are wore out because they're silent. They're wore out in their Christian life and discouraged and depressed because they've not released what they received. And God, by the power of the Spirit, is calling out, awake and understand what you have. People are dying every day and lost for eternity unless you take what I've given you and bring to them. God so wants to awaken every single one of us. You know, Jeremiah said, I heard him whispering behind my back when I got it straight and I began to talk. They said, there goes old danger everywhere. Shut him up. Report him. He's not politically correct. This is the Message Bible, okay? With a little bit of my translation too. Old friends watch, hoping I'll fall on my face. One misstep and we'll get him. We'll get rid of him for good. But then he says this, but God, a most fierce warrior, is at my side. Those that are after me will be sent sprawling. This is the Message Bible. Slapstick buffoons, that's what they are. They're going to be falling all over themselves. Spectacles of humiliation. No one will ever forget what they've seen in them. Oh God, and this is the part I really get. He said, oh God, of the angel armies. Boy, if we only knew how many angels are waiting for us to awake. How many that are sent forth as ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation, according to the book of Hebrews. They're waiting to work with you as your workmen in the Word to help you and strengthen you to do what God's called you to do. And by the way, man, I've got them positioned at the door. And if you go out without signing up for Man of God, they're not going to let you out. They're going to keep you going in circles till you sign up. Okay, I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I want to encourage you. I want you to understand, there's a whole army. Listen, there's more for you than there are against you. Don't you ever forget that. It's at least two for one. And I want you to understand, God's always for you. If God be for us, who can stand against us? Amen? Please understand God's goodness and grace. When we see the things like this, you know, I feel like David says he's a man after God's heart. It doesn't mean he always got it, but he was always after it. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit and life. They're not ink on paper. You're not just reading, okay, I'm going to read so many chapters today, blah, 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 blah. I'd rather you read three or four verses and get them in your heart and live them. We have people on the mission field that learn two or three verses. And they get them all memorized and go out and share them all week. And by the time they come back next week, they got them all jumbled up. And they're saying things that are not correct in the sense they're not properly said. They've added some words in there. But in the meantime, they've led 10 people to the Lord. And I'll tell you, that has to come back to the church. And listen, if you don't let God give you a passion for other people, then we'll just eat a lot of chicken. We'll get by. And we'll go to heaven. And people will walk into heaven. And some of them will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And some will come in and the Lord will say, well, you're done. Because they didn't do anything. They made it to heaven, but heaven never made it through them to the world that God placed them in. And church, I believe God's calling us to awaken to what He wants. I believe we need to kill the chicken. You know, down south when I'd stop in Mississippi, and this was when I was young, we'd stop and my kin folks would say, come on in, we'll kill a chicken. And they did. I mean, they go running. They killed a chicken and we had it. I want to tell you, it's time to kill the chicken and eat it. Amen. And take what's running around there doing nobody any good and let it nourish us, let us get strengthened and understand the grace of God. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I believe everything about the Bible. Listen, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And if you don't believe it, it's still settled because God said it. You could say, I don't believe in the law of gravity and step off a 40-foot building. Say, I just don't believe that what goes up will come down. I don't believe that. And as they're scraping you up off the sidewalk, you will have a new beliefs in your system. You can say and do what you want, but it's not going to change the Word of God. The deal is the Word of God changes us, and we need to understand that. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of John Gigliotti. I'm probably not saying his name just right, but he was a coach at St. John University, and he was so unusual in the way he did things in coaching people. He would tell them, don't lift weights and all that off-season. He didn't have them doing all that kind of stuff. And here's one of his favorite drills. He would have the big football players, they're standing in line. And these big brood of guys, you know, they're standing like that. And he would tell them, now this is our drill. Turn to the person on the left and say, have a nice day. Oh, all right, have a nice day. I'll turn to the right, say, have a nice day. Now, can you picture this? And people would laugh at that. Well, that is so silly. But they quit laughing because he was the winningest coach in the NCAA college football league, and he had two goals in life, and it was this. I want to reflect the leadership style of Jesus Christ, and I want to win a lot of football games. He had a right priority, and God blessed him. He had favor. People thought he was foolish, but he had favor with God. And God gave him wisdom of what to do. Here's the thing I want to say to you. This is God's goal for you as we go through these 40 days. And it's simple. Continue to become until you completely become like Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29 gives us an understanding of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those that love God or call according to his purpose. What's his purpose? For those he did predestinate, those he foreknew, he purposed that they would be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Everything you're going through in life is to work good, to mold you, to make you like Jesus Christ. Even the bad stuff, yes. Because when you go through that, the Word of God will keep you. The Word of God will help you to see beyond the immediate and the circumstances and see God's grace working in your life. And you can trust that. There is no condemnation that will hold you back. Conditions cannot control you. You'll not be so God-conscious. So sin-conscious, you'll become God-conscious. You'll begin to understand that he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That's what he wants to do. And I believe the Holy Spirit's going to awaken us in that way, that he begins to move in our hearts in a process that we can keep moving in. I shared this with you before, but it comes back to my heart so often, of Dr. James Kennedy, Evangelism Explosion, and that great movement that touched and won so many souls. And he did this large survey of why don't people witness? Why don't they talk about the Lord? Why don't they take what they receive and release it because the world is dying for it? And he thought the number one reason would be fear, or that they're not trained properly, or all their friends are Christians now. But that wasn't it. The number one reason was this. It's because of the way I live. Their own hearts condemned them. They would start to talk and they were chicken because of the fact of what was going on in their own flesh. I'll tell you in the name of the Lord, you're never going to get it all together. You're in process. You need to continue to become until you completely become like Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, you release whatever you've got. I'm thankful for a man like Peter. He released what he had even when he fumbled and failed and did all he was doing. If you're not willing to fail, you'll never have success. If you're not willing to do some things wrong, you'll never understand what real righteousness is all about. Because the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, assumed he's moving. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, get us on the move for all you want to do. May we come to the point that we live out our life and understand the goodness and the grace and live out the witness that God's put in our hearts. And as I say, continue to become until you completely become what Christ wants you to make you to be. The book of John tells us, when we see him, we will be like him. The complete job will not be done till we see him. But in the meantime, we can walk and talk and live a life that makes a difference in this world. And I can release the things of my past so I can do something in the present that will make a difference not only for my life, but for others. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants us to understand that now word in our lives and allow that to work in us. Now, I'm going to close with this very quickly. There was an old mule walking down the road, and as he was going down the road, he was so hungry, he was about to starve to death. And he looked on the right side, and the right side of his brain said, there's the right pile of straw, go over there and eat. Left side of his brain said, there's a pile of straw over on the left side. But then he didn't know what to do, and he was struggling like you. I don't know, I don't care. And he didn't know what to do. He's struggling about making a decision, so he just kept walking down the road and died of starvation. He was laying there on the road dead with a chicken that tried to cross the road but tried to live in the middle of the road and got run over. And I want to tell you, there's many Christians that can't decide what to do, and it's time to awaken. Quit looking to the right and the left. Get your eyes on Jesus. Quit looking at all the circumstances. Make up your mind and allow God to lead you. Well, what if I make a mistake? I'll tell you what. God can direct a person that's moving. If you're moving this way and he wants you to go that way, he'll begin to show you by the word. That's the compass. That's the roadmap. He'll direct and perfect those things in your life. But kill the chicken and allow the flesh to be sacrificed in such a way that it becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit that he intends, that we allow that flesh to become something that God can be glorified through, because he is the God of the spirit, soul, and body, and he wants to shine in this day. And I pray that we won't have a problem. Matter of fact, here's what I'd like to encourage you to do. Be a smart mule. Go over and eat the pile on the right and eat the pile on the left, and you'll have strength to do all God's called you to. Amen? And men, remember, I got angels at the door. All right? And they're going to get you. If they don't get you right now, they'll get you in the middle of the night and they'll say, hey, you. That was your old chicken that walked out the door and you didn't sign up. I want to tell you something, men. I love you. And I want to do everything I can to help you. So you continue to become until you completely become what Jesus made you to be. Amen? Holy Spirit, help us. I humble my heart before you, living God. Lord, even when I spoke today, I know I stumbled on some words. But Lord, it's your word that makes a difference, not mine. Holy Spirit, I love you. I love this church family. And I pray, God, that you'll work in such a way that you will allow the glory of the Lord to come and do something fresh and new. And Lord God, that it can happen in our heart. God, not just trying to change everything around us, but developing the character of Christ in us. I ask you, Spirit of God, raise up men and women in this congregation that, Lord, can come to this gateway community and open the gates wide, that there may be a flood of souls that are blind to the beauty of what you have in mind for them. I pray, Spirit of God, awaken our heart. Let us be a people that humble ourselves before you. Lord God, I pray that we'll not give way to the weakness of our flesh, but the Spirit of the living God may arise. So, Lord, I humble my heart, and I pray you'll speak to each one of us as you guide us this day, in Jesus' name. I want to ask, as we're praying together and allowing the Spirit of God to move upon our heart, is there any here today and you say, Pastor, I need the Lord. I need to come back to Christ. I need to get things right. I've let that old chicken flesh get in the way, and today I want to lay it on the altar. And Jesus and I know what it's about. And I'm going to lift my hand, and that's where I'm laying myself on the altar. And I'm going to receive and I'm going to release what God gives me. If that's the cry of your heart, would you slip your hand up right where you're seated? I'll just take a moment to agree with you. As the Holy Spirit speaks, you just respond. You know if he's speaking, you hear in your heart, and you respond. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Father, how we love you. And Lord, I pray that that love will shine this day. I pray, God, that we will know and understand more and more, not just what we believe, but what we received, so we'll release it. And I pray, Spirit of God, that we'll continue to become until we completely become more like you. I bless you. I believe for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Would you stand with me? God bless you, church family. It's always a joy to be together. I hope you can be here tonight as we go through the 40 days, and even more, I hope you'll find a small group. There's a list of small groups out there. If you have any questions, Pastor Janice will be glad to help you with that about small groups or getting involved. Or if you say, well, I'd like to get a few folks together, you don't have to get a lot of folks. You want to get your family together and do this. We'll give you the material. You can get right into it. You can get a DVD. So she'll help you with all of that. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit will bless you. And I want to tell you what, that chicken's going to take a licking. Amen? And we're going to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. I love you. Would you be sure to hug about 7 or 70 people, and we'll go on our way. God bless you.